record crowds, and lots to see. A look at some Oshkosh highlights with Bob Miller. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is, as often the case on Mondays, is Bob Miller, certified flight instructor, the proprietor of Bob Miller Flight Training at the Buffalo Lancaster Airport in Western New York. And we're here closing down Oshkosh, and I wanted to talk to Bob before he got back on his 210 and flew back to Buffalo and just kind of recap the event a little bit. And Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Well, good afternoon, Paul. This is indeed one of the happy days of the year for me and for all of us out here at Oshkosh. It's just a wonderful event, and we're having a great time.
Well, let me ask you, because I know you've been at Camp Scholar, and so you've probably seen more of the event than I have this past week. What did you see? What did you come looking for, if anything in particular, and what did you see that you found interesting?
Well, we've heard a lot of sometimes doom and gloom about the high gas prices and that general aviation is down. I think what I came looking for is just to see what the crowd size was going to be and did we really have a problem in general aviation. And much to my delight and everybody else here, I think we have record-breaking crowds. I don't know the numbers, but I do know they closed the North 40 for fly-ins early in the week. It was full. The lines at all the concessions are full, and I can tell you from what we see here, general aviation is alive and well, Paul.
Let me talk about a topic that we kicked around before we clicked on the microphone here. This is not something that's found directly in the August edition of Over the Airwaves, which is, we'll depart from the script here a little bit. But you had talked about a concept that has direct application in possibly improving our accident rate in general aviation, and that is your comment that I have found, and I'm going to quote you as exactly as I can. Bob says, quote, I have found that any time you keep score, whatever you're doing gets better. Expand a little bit on that principle.
Well, that's true. You know, if we go out on a golf course and don't keep score, we just bang the ball around. We never do as well as if we're keeping score. And I attended a seminar yesterday led by Brian Neville, who heads up the FAA's New Wings program. And there, just as an aside, that whole program, much to, again, the delight of all of us, is being revamped in a positive way. But really what that program does is enables us as aviators to keep score of our training, keep score of the maneuvers that we practice, keep score of whatever aspect of our recurrent training that we need to do. And I think this is an excellent way for all of us to objectify, if you will, to really come up with a plan program to ensure our own safety in the skies.
Now, there's another kind of facet to this question, too, and that is the fact that we don't really know a lot about the general aviation accident rate because we have no denominator for the fraction. We don't know how many hours are being flown in general aviation. And you had mentioned a simple step you thought that we could take from a regulatory standpoint that wouldn't really burden anyone, but that would give us that denominator.
Well, as a bit of background, Paul, as most of us know, we estimate the number of flight hours that we in general aviation fly every year, and we're able to develop rate data, the number of accidents per 100,000 hours flown, but that denominator, as you say, is purely an estimate. And there's been a lot of attention focused on the possibility of having every IA, every inspector, at the close of each annual inspection, simply record the number of hours that particular aircraft flew in the past 12 months. And then put that number on a piece of paper or a postcard, send it into the FAA or online, and develop some aggregate data on the number of hours flown by type of aircraft. We don't need to know by tail number or by name. But this would give us absolute concrete evidence as to what we're doing each year in terms of volume of hours flown, and it gives us, more importantly, specific rate information that we can tie together by aircraft type, by type of maneuver, things like that.
If, as many suggest, the decline in the number of hours flown by general aviation pilots over the past few years has dropped more than the generally accepted estimates suggest, that would be a fairly scary prospect if you're a biased statistician, because that would make the rate go up.
Well, this indeed is what we're being told unofficially from, I should say, highly placed sources within the FAA, that there is some concern that the number of hours actually being flown is considerably less than our estimates. And as you rightly point out, that would then drive our accident rate per 100,000 miles hours flown to a much higher level. There are people within the FAA, there are people within the Alphabet organizations whose jobs are evaluated on relative improvements in our safety rate. And some of these folks, I think, could very well be not too interested in seeing or having numbers that cannot be estimated, if you will.
Well, Bob, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about what we could do to actually lower the accident rate in general aviation as opposed to create a mathematical environment where it appears better. My guest is Bob Miller. I'll be back in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. We're talking about general aviation safety, as we often get into a little bit of a rut doing on Mondays. And Bob, I have talked in the past week at Oshkosh to both Jason Blair, Executive Director of the National Association of Flight Instructors, and Doug Stewart, who is the Chairman of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. And I got to say, there doesn't seem to be any consensus from these guys on exactly what we need to do to get accident rates down. And for reasons I find understandable, neither of them seems to want a lot more heavy-handed regulation in our lives. What do we do?
Well, the sad fact of the matter is the regulations are lax, extremely lax. Right now, we know the number one weather-related cause of fatal accidents is continued VFR, flight into IMC conditions. Right now, we are graduating probably 80% of our CFIIs, our instrument-rated instructors, without having any significant time in actual IFR conditions. This is appalling to all of us who work and operate in this field. The only way to change that is to get into Part 61 and change the regulatory requirements to qualify and to maintain your experience requirements as a CFII, for example. Yes, we do need to open up Part 61, and this is the part of the regulation that establishes qualifications. That there's no way around it. There are critics of that suggestion saying that once that is opened up, who knows what we'll get. The FAA will get in there and start muddying the waters and give us something that we don't want. But that's the only way around it. Right now, our four-year colleges are using last year's graduates to teach this year's graduates how to fly under instrument rules without ever putting them in the clouds. Again, that's just one example of many things that need to really be tightened up if we're going to get to the bottom of what this accident rate could really be.
The other big thing that jumps out in the statistics every year is stall spin accidents. I guess even more so than VFR pilots flying into IMC, stall spin accidents to me seem completely avoidable. I can understand circumstances could develop where you could find yourself in IMC, but what do we do about the stall spin situation?
This is a particularly troublesome problem. If I were to say, or somebody were to say, we need to have everybody go through stall or spin training as private pilots, I fear the vast majority, and here's where I'm liable to get a number of angry emails, but I suggest, I would predict that probably 75% of the practicing CFIs out there could quite possibly hurt themselves and their students if they were suddenly required to conduct spin training. In other words, the educational community itself at this point is so far removed from any kind of significant training in their own training that to ask them to do it for other students would be a bit of a reach, a safety reach. But nonetheless, we have to get around that problem. Spin training is, in my opinion, the safest and one of the most effective ways of improving our awareness of aerodynamics. I was with an individual earlier today, Rich Stowell, and I was commenting with him. I took some training with him a number of years ago and said that my aerobatic training with him over a two-day period was the finest 2 days of training I've ever spent as an aviator in terms of making me a safer pilot. We've got to get that back into the curriculum one way or another.
Would the general aviation training fleet at this point, those all those airplanes parked out in the sun at the ramps at FBOs around the country, have enough spin-rated aircraft to conduct this training?
Well, no, we're going to have to find the airplanes to do that in. And there are training aircraft that are capable of doing that. Even the Cessna 172, most of them loaded in the utility category, is legal to do spins in. But if you want mountain training, if you want sea training, if you want multi-training, you go to the schools that have that equipment. And my recommendation to my own students is find an opportunity to get to a school or a resource that can give you spin training and get it, just as, even though it may not be required, from my perspective, I'll tell you, it will make you a safer, more proficient pilot.
Let's end this on a lighter note, Bob. What did you think of the new facilities layout at Whitman Airport this year?
I think the flow is nice, nicer. I like what they've done with the flea market. They put it over a little bit closer to Scholar Park. But all in all, the crowd control, the resources, the labs, the food services, it's all laid out very, very nicely. You will not find me being critical of Oshkosh Air Venture. This is one wonderful event, and I tend to be critical of a lot of things that I see, and that's what I do. But over here, I tell you, they have really brought this down to a level of almost absolute proficiency.
Well, Bob, as always, we appreciate your thoughts. We'll be talking to you on the phone next week, and thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Paul. Have a good day.
My guest has been Bob Miller, CFI. He is the publisher of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. It comes out monthly on the internet, and if you would like to get it, you can view it, the most current episode and all the archives, at overtheairwaves.com. You'll also find a link to sign up to get an email notification when a new issue is available. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.